I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite politician or personality. Hey, welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. So glad that you are listening today, no matter how you are listening. So grateful to those who are broadcasting this show across America and Canada. How awesome is that? I think we even have some UK broadcasters now. Just absolutely pleased and tickled pink to be the voice of liberty in the America and around the world. And today we have a very special show for you. Today we have an interview with my dear friend Barbara Samuels, the founder of Catholics for Freedom of Religion, the amazing dynamo woman who put off her knee replacement to preserve liberty. I'm going to tell you what, there are no excuses. There are no excuses as to why we can't get up and do what we need to do to defend liberty for our children. And let Barbara inspire you. I'm with Barbara Samuels, a dear friend of mine, who is the founder of Catholics for Freedom of Religion. So I don't get it wrong, I'm going to let Barbara introduce herself and tell you about Catholics' Freedom of Religion. Tell us, Barbara, what exactly is the mission statement of the Catholics for Freedom of Religion?
Aha, the mission statement. That's a good question. The mission statement is to educate and inspire lay Catholics to understand their religious freedom, understand the source of our religious freedom and the purpose of our religious freedom, and then develop such a love and understanding of that religious freedom that they will be compelled to preserve and protect that religious freedom for ages and millions yet unborn.
Woohoo! That's awesome. You started this group on Long Island. Tell us how it started.
What really compelled this group to begin was the issuance by the Health and Human Services Administration of a mandate that pulls the rug out from religious freedom for every American of every faith or of none. Because this mandate came out and very boldly and directly insisted that every American, including religious organizations, put aside their beliefs and their conscience and provide procedures and substances that are in direct opposition to the conscience beliefs of millions of Americans.
How did you get this started? Because I want to encourage people to do what you're doing based on whatever it is their love of liberty is. You know, what aspect of liberty they love. How do they start a group like this?
You know what? I'm so glad you said that. And let me just talk for a minute because that is so important. I talk with my friends and we get together and meet and people are concerned about this issue or that issue, all having to do with our liberty and our freedoms and our love of our country and our desire to preserve those freedoms. And people say, oh, did you hear this about this issue? Did you hear this about this issue? And we would get together and we would all become very upset because there were so many things going on that concerned us. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice, Chris Ann Hall, who said, one time when I heard her speak, she said, choose the thing that is your passion. And that resonated with me. And I said this to my friends and acquaintances. I said, choose that thing that really speaks to your heart and to your mind. And then work on that with everything you have. And trust that your friends around you and other liberty-loving people will pick up the other issues and everything will be taken care of. But you focus on your things. And you know what? The first group of people I said that to, there were maybe 15 people there. Now, what is it, maybe 3 years later, almost everyone there is involved as they can be with the issue that speaks to them the strongest. And when we get together now and meet, everyone has such amazing stories to tell of their progress, of what they're doing, of their frustrations. But we've gone from being a group of people who just sit together and commiserate and say, woe is us, too bad we can't do anything, to a group of people who are dynamic, active, effective, and making a difference. So I'm glad you brought that up, because if you see something, for me it was this religious liberty. Mm-hmm. I had other concerns. But when I saw this happening in my country, and I knew that most Americans had no idea of how severe this denial of religious liberty really was. I don't know why, it just struck me that way from the beginning. It was actually as if the ground moved under my feet. If you go to millions of Americans who do not support abortion, and you tell them, you, your religious organizations, you as an employer must provide, in spite of your conscience, you must provide abortion-inducing drugs to your employees, that is your religious freedom gone. And just as we say to people, freedom of speech taken from one person is taken from all, surely freedom of religion taken from millions of Americans is taken from all. So I said to myself, and I started talking to a friend, and I said, what can we do? And she saw it the same way I did, that this was a huge, huge attack on First Amendment. She saw it the same way I did. We said, what can we do? What can we do? We knew that there were people in churches all over America who did understand. Maybe it was only 5% in each church. Maybe it was 2%, maybe it was 10%, but we knew they were there. How can we bring these people out? How can we gather them together, and how can we work together so that they know they are not alone? So we started with one parish. I'm Catholic, she's Catholic, even though it's everyone's freedom of religion. We're Catholic, so it was easiest for us to start in the Catholic Church, and it was a natural place for us to start.
Now, I want to just mention to you that you said something very important, and I don't want to sort of gloss over it. It's something that I've been, you know, that everybody should understand. The Affordable Care Act is not a Catholic problem. Exactly. It is a problem with every aspect of religion.
Yes, and the Affordable Care Act, which then generated the Health and Human Services mandate that mm-hmm. I mentioned, the Affordable Care Act now we're seeing coming out not just with insistence and force of supplying abortifacient drugs and contraception and sterilization. They're also coming out now with end-of-life mm-hmm. dictates and end-of-life, quote-unquote, policies and recommendations and procedures that deny the choice to patients and their families, and sometimes even their doctors, as to what the end-of-life care will be. And this is very, very dangerous, because this is such a slippery slope. Now we hear in states like where I live in New York State, the insistence from some legislators about passing bills that will allow physician-assisted suicide. Because after all, they use the words dignity, death with dignity. Isn't death with dignity meaning providing the best care you can, the best pain relief, the best support, and the best love for people who are at the end of life, not starving them or dehydrating mm-hmm. them to death by denying them hydration and food, not putting them into a coma, basically, where they will drown, they will stop breathing, and they will die. This is not death with dignity. This is murder under another name. And so all of these things coming out of the Affordable Care Act, and there's more to it than that. The young girls, as young as 12 years old, who are counseled on contraception, birth control pills, and even abortion without their parents' consent, and can even have an abortion now in some states without their parents' knowledge. And this must be provided as part of the coverage under the Affordable Care Act. Not all states have done it yet, but a few have. And it's devastating. You send your daughter to school where they're not allowed to give her an aspirin without a big procedure and this, that. But they can counsel your daughter on contraception. They can offer her an abortion. And you have no right as the parent to know about that. People are not hearing this because it's not a good thing. And it's not favorable to the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act, so it's being slipped in, but it is definitely there. You don't have to look very far to find it. So there are so many things. So getting back to the religious freedom aspect of this, when I started talking with my friend, we said, you know, nothing like this has ever been done. What we were thinking of doing is working to educate within the church, is working to educate fellow parishioners and lay Catholics, because we look to our leaders in the Catholic Church, our clergy and our leaders, to influence legislation if need be, to make our voice heard, to make the Catholic voice heard. But now we're at a point where we started looking, and her name is Eileen Wolfe. She and I started looking at what the clergy had to say, and we started looking at what Pope Benedict had to say, that the American people need to be aware that their freedom of religion, their first liberty, is under attack. And Archbishop Chaput from Philadelphia has said, if the Catholic laity don't care enough about their religion and their faith and their church to fight for it in the public square, in the end, what the bishops do will not matter. And he's right.
No, that's absolutely right, because one person can't preserve your liberty for you. You have to be the one that's active in that preservation. And if you're not actually exercising and preserving your liberty, you have none. Somebody can't do that for you.
That's exactly right. And the amazing thing for my friend Eileen and me, and for these other people in this group that I meet with, the amazing thing is action has a boldness of its own. I know someone said that other than me. But once you take those first couple steps that you don't think you can take and that might be very painful to take, once you take those first couple of steps, help comes to your side. People and the Spirit come to your side and help you when you least expect it.
Patrick Henry said, "We are 3 million armed in the holy cause of liberty. And we serve a just God who will not allow us to fight our battles alone. He will send friends to aid us in our defense."
And those friends do come.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
they absolutely do.
Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
We're going to continue with my interview with Barbara Samuels, founder of Catholics for Freedom of Religion.
We thought when we started this in the very beginning, and we went to the first parish priest and we told him we wanted to start a group in the parish, a nonpartisan, apolitical group, but what we wanted to do was educate on First Amendment freedom of religion, which we believe is a gift from God to all mankind, and which we're so thankful to be born in this country where it's protected by our Constitution, our First Amendment. So we wanted to begin to educate on this because most people don't know what religious freedom really is. They think freedom of worship is freedom of religion. It is not. Most people have no idea of where our religious freedom originated and why it is so important and how beneficial it has been to our country, why our founders were so determined that we would have a robust freedom of religion guaranteed to all Americans. Now, the reason Eileen and I know that is because we heard Chris Ann Hall speak.
I was like, yay, I teach that.
Yes, she does. She teaches it like no one else. And I've heard her speak many times, and Eileen has heard you speak several times. So we knew that. So we knew that our freedom of religion is not just something that our founders thought, oh, you know what, it might be nice, why don't we do this? Oh, no, 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 no. We learned from you the history and the importance of religious freedom and religious liberty. And so we went forward, and when we spoke to that first parish priest, he looked at us, and he was a little puzzled. He was very surprised, but without getting into all the details. From there, eventually, he said, well, yes, you could start this in the parish. And we started with basic education, with flyers to the parish, with articles that go into the bulletin, with having speakers like Chris Ann Hall, a constitutional educator, come in and teach people about their religious freedom. We've had an amazing speaker, Rabbi Aryeh Spiro, comes, and he talks about our Judeo-Christian ethic in this country and how political correctness is driving that out of our country. An amazing speaker. We've had incredible speakers come. We find really good movies that we show in the parishes about freedom of religion, the history of religious freedom in our country, and about the heroes of religious freedom.
You guys need to show the movie Magnificent Heritage.
I have that movie.
Do you? Yes. Great. Oh, yes, you do. I know
I
you have that
do.
Movie, don't I?
I
you
do.
Need to show that one. That's an awesome one.
Yes, yes. And there are just so many. When you start looking for them, there are so many sources. They won't come at you. You have to look a little bit mm-hmm. with the movies. And also with books, because we have two people now who want to start a book club in their parish. And there are so many good books that teach you about religious freedom.
Well, now this is something where I wanted to ask you. And you started with you and Eileen in your parish. But now you have chapters of Catholics for Freedom of Religion all over the country, don't you?
Well, we don't have as many as we'd like to have.
Well, yeah, but now many, people, yeah. All right, before we get any further, if people want to start a chapter, find out about Catholics for Freedom of Religion, how do they find that?
Okay.
How do they find you?
They can find us in many ways. They can go to our website, which is cffor.org. They can call us on our phone, which is 631-896-8331, or they can email us. Now you have everything. They can mm-hmm. email us at parishleaders@yahoo.com. And remember, parish is spelled with one R.
Right.
A lot of people make the mistake and put two R's. parishleaders@yahoo.com.
I hope you don't think this is a Catholic thing. I hope that you are not thinking, well, this might be great for the Catholics and their parishes, but how about your church? How about your community group? How about starting a group that infiltrates your city council, your county commission? How about finding a group that lobbies your sheriff on a regular basis? Hey, this is about getting involved. This is about finding your passion. And Barbara is giving you a template. She's showing you how to do that and giving you the information you need to contact her so that she can help you be a defender of liberty. And that's what this should all be about, us finding our passions so that we can defend the liberty that does not just belong to us, as Barbara said, for ages and millions yet unborn. We sort of winked at each other because that's the wording of our framers. They did what they did, life, fortune, sacred and honor, for ages and millions yet unborn.
My mom always said I was born for this, and some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, cause she filled me with love and the strength to live. She said,
the Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Hey, are you ready to defend liberty? The tools are right there in front of us, and all the motivation we need is within our hearts and our minds and our souls. Our children are depending upon us, and we're giving you today a template on how you can begin to defend liberty on your own. Start your own group. One person, Barbara Samuels, impacting an entire country with her actions. Why can't we all? And if not you, then who? We shouldn't be sitting around waiting for Barbaras. We should be them.
So tell us about your chapters. How does Catholics for Freedom of Religion chapter work?
Well, what happens is we have started many groups, and in different states. We're throughout the whole diocese here of Rockville Center, which is a huge diocese on Long Island. We have groups in South Carolina. We have one lone group in Texas that are now helping to form more groups. And we have the very first group starting in Florida on May 15th.
Yay!
So we're very excited about that. And we have a lot of interest from around the country. And what we're doing is one by one, we talk to people, we tell them what to do. We have all the materials for people to use. We've invented those. We've tested them. They're field tested, as you say. We send people exactly, this is what you do in the first meeting. These are the materials that you need. This is the handout that you need. But then we also talk to those people a lot because we have to make sure that they're educated, mm-hmm. that they know that we are nonpartisan. So we're not going to get up and talk about candidates. We will talk about freedom of religion. We will talk about the things that take away freedom of religion, but we're not telling anybody go vote for or against a certain candidate. That's not it.
No, but the issues are what's important.
The issues.
Are they liberty issues?
Yes, yes. The issues are important. And when we come to things that deny religious freedom, that deny the freedom of religious expression, for example, in schools all over the country, students are mistakenly and wrongly told, no, you can't write about Jesus in your essay. A fourth grade boy on Long Island, the teacher called him into the classroom and tore up his essay in front of him and threw it in the wastebasket and said, you have to write a new essay because we don't write about Jesus in this school. That boy is now 22 years old. He still remembers that because
Imagine.
It was so
That was
traumatic.
Terrible.
Yes. A little girl was told in her school she liked to pray her rosary at lunch. She was told if she brings her rosary into school again, she will be sent to the principal's office. These things happen all the time, all over the country. Children told that they can't wish each other a Merry Christmas. They can't hand out an invitation to a Christmas party. All these things that are not true. So what we've done, Catholics for Freedom of Religion, we have a program now where we educate children and their parents about their rights to religious expression in the public schools.
You know, most parents don't realize that even the Federal Department of Education has a student bill of rights that declares that your students have these rights in the schools and in the classrooms. Not only that, the Supreme Court of the United States backs that up too, says your students do not check their rights at the door when they enter into a government school.
You're exactly right, and that's whose guidelines we use. We use the U.S. Department of Education guidelines, and by the way, those guidelines were issued at the direction of President Clinton around the same time that the original Religious Freedom Restoration Act was passed under President Clinton, that RFRA was passed. So we use those guidelines, and we have, if you're interested in looking at it, it's amazing, we have a little pamphlet that shows the basic freedoms of students to religious expression in schools. And it's put out by an organization called Gateways to Better Education. And you can find their website at gtbe.org, Gateways to Better Education. These little pamphlets, we gave 10,000 of them out in our diocese on Long Island, found that wasn't enough. We ordered another 5,000.
Wow, that is awesome.
Those are going out to thousands of students now across the country. And when you give these out to students, they get so excited because you know what? Almost every student, by the time they're in the 7th or 8th grade, has seen either themselves or a friend have something like this happen to them that denied their religious freedom in their schools.
That is just amazing. It's, you know, in the power of this, Barbara, is understanding the power of what one person or two people can do. We, like you said, stop sitting around and commiserating and feeling sorry for ourselves. Stop sitting around and complaining, throwing things at the TV and screaming at the radio. But get up and actually do something. I mean, you know, we are not superhuman people. We are your average person who lives in, you know, Middletown America, and we have homes. I don't ever get to see mine, but we have homes, and people don't know this, but Barbara has a beautiful cat named Spooky that we love so very much, and I mean, we're just average people. We're not funded by the Koch brothers. We're not getting government grants, but like you said in the beginning, we have developed a love for liberty, and that drives a passion that makes us act.
And it will not let you rest. And it
no,
will not let you no. rest, because when you know that what you do is going to make a difference, even if you don't see it right away and even if you don't see it every day, what you do does make a difference. We all influence so many people that we don't even necessarily realize, but we do. You throw that rock into the pond and the ripples go out and out and out. And something that you say or do may affect somebody today, or it may affect them a year from now or 5 years from now. But if you speak the truth and you speak it clearly and you stand strongly for your freedom, any and all of your freedoms and your liberty, people do hear that. They do listen to it, and it stays in their mind, and it will get to their heart.
Now, I want to stress the fact, Barbara, that you guys aren't just having weekly or monthly meetings where you sit around and talk about all the things that are going on. You guys are actually involved. You've seen some really, really great things happen. You're involved now with the Catholic Church, am I wrong saying, on a national level with larger events and things that are happening. Tell us about how, you know, the education of the young people and the thing you do every year. I forget what that's called.
The Fortnight for Freedom.
Tell us all about all of that.
Religious freedom. Okay. The USCCB, the American bishops, in other words, declared 4 years ago that there should be every year a 2-week period of celebration, prayer, information, education about religious freedom. So every year, starting June 21st and ending July 4th, there is a Fortnight for Freedom in the Catholic Church. There's been great variation as to how much that is celebrated or observed from parish to parish and even from diocese to diocese. So we're encouraging, and we support the USCCB very much, we're encouraging churches where we are and parishes and dioceses to really make the most of this Fortnight for Freedom period. So one thing we're doing here on Long Island in the Diocese of Rockville Center, we have a major religious freedom rally, among other things, during those 2 weeks. And we have students who have entered an art contest and a speech contest with religious freedom themes. And the winners, the art will be displayed, and the winners will give their speeches at the rally. We've also been fortunate to have the high school student officers of the Catholic League of Chaminade High School speak at our rally also. And then we've had our Bishop, Bishop Murphy, speak at the rally. We've had other amazing speakers. And this year on June 25th here on Long Island, we're so honored to have Professor Robert George of Princeton come and give the keynote address at our rally. And the materials that we prepare for the Fortnight for Freedom, we prepare bulletin pages to go out to every and be offered to every parish, and a lot of parishes use them. They really educate about our religious freedom, why our founders did what they did, what our Catholic leaders, clergy, are saying about religious freedom, and so forth. And we share that. We share that through the USCCB. It's made available to anyone that wants to use that. And then sharing our free to speak for our students to learn about their freedom of speech in the public schools is turning into a huge success and a huge outreach. And that can very soon go from reaching 15,000 students to reaching 500,000 students in the state of New York, in the state of South Carolina, in the state of Florida, and any other states, because we've also offered that to anybody that's interested in it. People can contact us and say, I want to see your free to speak program. We'll tell you all about it. We'll send you all the materials we've developed.
Tell us again how we find out, how people contact you. One more time.
Okay. The easiest way is probably to go on our website. And our website, instead of writing out Catholics for Freedom of Religion, you can just type in the first letters, CFFOR.org. And through the website, you can contact us to get the information on this.
So let me ask you, what's your passion? What is it that gets your blood boiling when you watch the news or you listen to something on the radio? What is it that makes your fist clench and your chin quiver, makes you feel like you might want to actually punch somebody in the face? That's when you found your passion, that thing that gets you broiled and boiled. And that's when you need to step up and say, hey, it's time for me to do something. If this makes me this emotionally upset, if this makes me so intellectually stimulated, then I'm going to actually stand up and I'm going to get educated. I'm going to do something. Barbara didn't know everything that she knew the minute she stood up to take this defense. Her first step was to get educated. I am just absolutely humbled and honored beyond belief to have been a beginning point of that education. And this can be you too. Start off small. Life, fortune, sacred honor, you don't have to die for something, you have to live for it. You don't have to go bankrupt for something, you just have to dedicate a portion of your resources, time, money, whatever, to the preservation of liberty. Sacred honor, you do it because it's the right thing to do.
My right to tote the weapon of my choice. Don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my gun.
Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Going to finish up my conversation with the lovely and dedicated Barbara Samuels. I really, really hope that you have become inspired by what one woman can do. One woman dedicated to liberty with the power of God behind her and a motivation for our ages and millions yet unborn. What can we all do together to preserve liberty? Thank you so much, Barbara, for your stand, and I want to thank you for our children, for your stand and the efforts that you're making to reach our young people and to teach the parents and the grandparents their responsibility to protect the liberty of their children, because, you know, the kids can't do that. That stuff would have never happened to that fourth grader or those young people in the schools if their parents had known the truth and had the courage with that knowledge to stand up and say, no, you're wrong, and then show them that they're wrong. Can you imagine if that fourth grader, if his mom or dad had known about religious liberty and had gone up and stood up for him in that day? At 22, he remembers that. What would his memory be like then if it all happened in that way? And what you guys are doing at Catholics for Freedom of Religion is giving parents the boldness to raise liberty-minded children who have the courage to stand as well. So I want to thank you for being a guest of our show, Barbara, and I'm going to encourage everybody to see what you're doing.
Thank you, Chris Ann. Thank you.
How many of us believe and know with courage what our children can and cannot do in the government schools?
How many of us understand that our children have the right to speak freely? That even the U.S. Department of Education says that public school students have religious liberties. How many of us understand that? How many parents understand that to the point that they would be willing to step up and stand up to the school and defend your child's right? Even the Supreme Court of the United States says that our children do not surrender their rights when they step into a school, government schoolyard. The Department of Education says that your child can pray, read his Bible, or other religious materials. Your child is allowed to talk about his faith in school. Quoting from the Department of Education's document, a Bill of Rights on this, students may pray when not engaged in school activities or instruction, subject to the same rules designed to prevent material disruption of the educational program that are applied to other privately initiated expressive activities. Among other things, students may read their Bibles or other scriptures, say grace before meals, and pray or study religious materials with fellow students during recess, the lunch hour, or other non-instructional time to the same extent that they may engage in non-religious activities. Are our parents willing to stand up for our children's rights, to teach them to stand on their own? Students may organize prayer groups, religious clubs, see you at the poll gatherings before school to the same extent that they are permitted to organize other non-curricular student activities. If they can have a chess club, they can have a Bible club. They are allowed to express their beliefs about religion in homework, artwork, and other written and oral assignments free from discrimination based on religious content of their submissions. These are the rights of your children, and they're being stolen even when they're adults because we don't stand up and teach them to do this. Do you realize that a child who is brainwashed into believing that they have no rights in school will grow up to believe that they have no rights as an adult? Hey, Hillary Clinton is not the hero for our daughters, and neither is Michelle Obama. We don't need whining women running around complaining about the war on women. We need women like Barbara Samuels to be held up, lifted up to our daughters, women who are willing to war for liberty. Our children deserve this. Our children deserve our every action. And Barbara Samuels and those other women who are defending liberty should be our heroes, not Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama. It's time for us to step up and show our daughters and our sons what defending liberty really, really looks like. God bless. See you tomorrow.